Boy, there are a lot of thank yous we could say, and I don't think you can say that enough. Bruce, thank you for your leadership in the mornings and your words of devotion, which have been so helpful, I think, especially to us who have to come up here. Also, one of my highlights was serving yesterday in the cook shed with Levi Price right there. And Levi, I hope I have your permission. Our pictures will be posted on our church's website and Facebook page and Instagram. So I wanted our church to know I did something while I was here. I also just is with Dwayne and Todd and myself, it has been so rich this morning, especially too. I owe so much to Dwayne. I was sitting on the front porch. He was running his 5 miles, and I said, run some for me. So I miraculously lost 800 calories this morning, which I'm grateful for. I'm grateful for our front porch chats with Todd, my next door neighbor, in the mornings. And also, at the Bible study this morning, when Dwayne came to make a powerful illustration, the wind swept over and blew his notes off, his stand. And I could identify with that because the other night I had half my notes up here. I had to struggle to find where the others were. But I really mean this. I believe that was the breath of God. That was the Spirit moving and bringing what He's been giving to us in the morning alive so much. I've asked Him to come to First Baptist Abilene, do what He did here in the mornings. And part of that is not just a gig for a pastor. We're approaching a very critical time in our church this fall of some decisions we have to make. And I want us to make them on our knees. And how my good friend Dwayne can help us begin to understand the importance of prayer. I know I don't want to go too long this morning. We're thinking of home, but we're thinking of home in a lot of ways. Those were very holy moments a moment ago when those names were read. And that we do take such great hope in the promise that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive of what is prepared for those who love Him. Will you just imagine that? I don't think Bill said that, but I don't like the term lost. You have not lost a loved one, please. You know exactly where they are. And also, too, even as those names were read, nothing can ever take away those memories that are a part of your life, the legacy, and the stories now that you continue to pass on. I've got to say one other thing, and it's from Revelation, not an S, Revelation. Maybe some of you have stood in the cave of John the Divine there on the island of Patmos and stared out across the Aegean Sea where it seemed like it stretched for an eternity. No sight of mainland. There John, exiled, apart from family, separated from church and loved ones. And he then declares, one day there'll be no more sea. He's not talking about just the sea we see. He means in that no more separation. And so today, as we think and talk about home, and Todd and I are kind of doing a double header on you with this, about looking at home and grateful for the ways in which our sermons today, I didn't stay up and steal from him last night, I want to assure you, even as I gave my confession about it one time, staying up very late writing. So if you would stand for the reading of God's word, as we have moved our journey through the 23rd Psalm, I'm going just to read verse 6 today, which is the text. And again, if you would, I will say this is the word of God for the people of God, to which, especially today, my goodness, He has prepared a home, a house for us forever. Thanks be to God if you would respond. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. As I mentioned yesterday, Mary and I are building a new home since we're downsizing. After 24 years of living in the same home since we moved to Abilene, it has so many memories. We're moving, and it hasn't been easy to leave. It's already been sold, and since our home isn't, let me just go put in an aside too, as far as it's not easy to decide what to keep and what to save when you start moving. And it really, I thought about Ecclesiastes. There's a time to keep, a time to throw away. We had some interesting conversations about that, I might say. No, I'm not getting rid of this. And we did survive our marital counseling after this, and we will be moving into our home together. That's the good news of this. But really, a whole nother sermon in a way is that we're living with our next door neighbor. An interesting arrangement, and I don't have time to tell you that, but it's been wonderful. It has been something God led us together, because her husband, my good friend John, died this past year. I helped at the funeral. He wasn't a member of our church. Man, that's the kind of neighbor to have too, you know. And we used to meet at the dumpster when we'd take trash out, or when we would go and be working in the yard, and he became my pastor. And so Sandy, his wife, we're even thinking about writing a book, Grace at the Dumpster, you know, that we found there. So we're living with our next door neighbors. And so, as Todd mentioned, where is home right now? I mean, we got several addresses. Writing our commitment card, we wrote our new address, but we don't live there. Mail has been coming to all different kinds of places. At one time, we were supposed to live in one of our church's missionary residences. So it is. Where really is home? Where's home for you? You're going back home. Paisanos, your home. Is it an address? Todd helped us begin to ask those questions with punctuation. Is it an address? Is it a relationship? A destination, maybe all of the above. The words of that great hymn, when Christ shall come to take me home, they're not just words for funerals. They're words of hope in our daily struggles. We will never be homeless. And in a way, I'm a bit uncomfortable using that because of even our church's downtown ministry to people who are homeless. But let me tell you, in some ways, they're part of our church, and maybe they're not as homeless as some folks who come into worship every morning. The words from Psalm 23, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. They are both for now. They're about a relationship with the Father, a home. Like in the parable of, I don't use the prodigal son, it's that parable is about the waiting father. That's the point of it. So we do have a home. You got a place even here that he's prepared, but also about that future hope that awaits us, that we've given witness to this morning. Remember the movie Field of Dreams? It's the best sports movie ever made, I think. And part of it, I'm a baseball fan. I played 1 year of baseball at Baylor, which my career is very undistinguished, I might say. The only evidence I ever played is my name is listed in the yearbook that year. That's it. I'm in no other statistics. But Ray Kinsella, if you remember, he's been estranged from his father. And of all things that happened over baseball, and he didn't like his dad pushing him in baseball, and even how he resisted playing catch with his dad, which is such a gift for fathers. And so he He lives with this grief and this guilt that still haunts him about his relationship of his father now who's died. And so then he hears, as you remember, that mysterious voice that says, if you build it, they will come, or he will come. At first, I wasn't sure. Is it they? Is it he? It was even kind of hard for me to hear, but he heard it. So he bulldozes some of the best farmland in Iowa, builds this baseball park, and he thinks it's shoeless Joe Jackson that's supposed to show up, who was banished from baseball because of the Black Sox scandal. And so it is, though, a powerful moment, though. The movie proceeds, but a powerful moment in the movie is when that divine voice says to Ray, build it so he will come to ease your pain. He didn't hear it even the first time. He thought he still heard it to ease shoeless Joe Jackson's pain. Build it so he will come, Ray, to ease your pain that he had had. And so there it is. At the end of the movie, Ray and his father, John, who had a short career in baseball, comes walking through the cornfield. And there he and his father, now this young John, that he didn't even really recognize at first, they're walking along. And John Kinsella, who's come back, he has no idea that this is his son, Ray. And so as they walk along, John muses and says to his son, is this heaven? To which Ray says, no, it's Iowa, you know. Never thought about heaven being Iowa. But as they walk along, Ray says, maybe it is. Why? No more pain. Reconciliation. No more regrets. You know, Ray goes on to say, maybe this is heaven where all your dreams come true. I don't know, maybe that's pushing it a little, unless maybe our dreams are the kingdom. But I think we do have those dreams of one day finding that relationship and home where everything is made new. Home is closer this morning than you might think as we go along. Do you spend much time, and this maybe is not the question to ask this morning of us, but do you spend much time thinking about eternity, the home that's prepared for us? Thomas Kelly wrote, people nowadays take time far more seriously than eternity. And we could just kind of rest on that for a while, but I do understand why. I understand especially why our young families don't. Trying to survive the next day, taking care of kids. Even yesterday, some of our families here with all of their children, and they'd been playing dodgeball, had not had naps, and everybody was kind of about to have a meltdown, you know? Have you thought about heaven today? No, you know? Give me some time to myself. Paying bills, but then, you know, the older we get, the more we do, right, we start thinking about it. It's like Mary and I keep cars a long time. And I don't know what the context was. There had to be some purpose of it that I shared. We had bought a new car. I don't know, Dwayne. I mean, you know, sometimes you just say things. And I shared we had bought a new car and that we keep them a long time, to which after the service, standing there at the door greeting people, somebody came out and they said, you know, that might be the last car you ever buy. Don't you love the comments after worship, you know? And so as we think now about going back home, wherever it is, for us Abilene, we can get so easily caught up in all that needs to be done. We can quickly go from Paisano time to pressure time and forget these days God planted a different time in our hearts, kingdom time and Bible study. That even as Ecclesiastes says, listen to that hint of eternity that's been planted into our hearts. This also was a gift, as I remember, Todd, when I was there at the dedication of Truett and still have the clock that was given to me that was fashioned after the clock that's perched atop Park City's Baptist Church in Dallas. There it is, Park City's, right there along Loop 12, Northwest Highway, right there by the mall, people driving here and there, rushing by, commuters going by, going to shop, going to buy. Kind of sounds like James for a moment. And there, people can't see it, there written across that clock that's on top of Park City's are the words, "Night cometh." Night does come, right? And so this house or home that is prepared for us, what's it like? Home is such a powerful word. We heard that last night. Even my very mentioning of it can bring all kinds of things to memory for you. Perhaps good things, perhaps some hard things. We all have a searching, a place to belong. That's a part of, too, what we face in ministry. And we take it so seriously. The church, for a lot of people, is a home, a place where they look to belong. And home speaks of acceptance. Robert Frost defined home as when you show up, they have to take you in. I pray our church will always be like that. Perhaps home too is like the old Motel 6 commercial with Tom Baudette, you know, we'll leave the light on you, for you. The psalm says we have such a home. No matter what your earthly home has been like, this home, what kind of image would we paint? I know there was some maybe controversy about the movie and the book, The Shack, personally, and I don't know all the theology that would be involved with that, but there are just things about that I do think spoke to people looking for home. And so it is, at least in the book, I remember that home was a place where there's always a warm fire. There's the smell of bread baking. The door is always open. There's a light, kind of like even here, where thank goodness we have this open tabernacle where the light comes in and the light would filter into this home through the windows. That there's rockers on the porch. There's a cool breeze blowing like there was on Tuesday. And Papa, the God person in the movie, as she said to Mac, "I'm very, very fond of you." Don't turn your nose up at that. I know it's not, "I love you." But you know, there are people who really, maybe, did you know God is very fond of you? And so that's a bit of that yearning of heaven. Years ago, about being homesick, years ago I went to Russia to lead a pastor's conference. And after my host picked me up at the airport, it was a pretty dicey thing. We had no real itinerary. I just kind of, talking about walking by faith, not by sight. And I don't want to throw him under the bus. Bill Brewster arranged this for me, but I had nothing. I just kind of, you show up here. And so I was picked up at the airport, the Moscow airport, and taken to the Baptist Seminary there. And my host, who was very nice, we stopped off at a little grocery, got some food and water and things like that to hold me over. That was going to be my dinner right there in the seminary. And so he told me that he would pick me up tomorrow. Well, he didn't tell me when. I figured the next day was Sunday. I thought we would be going to worship someplace Sunday morning. But really, in the Moscow Baptist Church, their real worship is on Sunday night. Can you believe that? You know? It was standing room only that night. People peering in through the windows. Well, so there I was. I was all alone in that bare dorm room. I didn't think I'd ever be back in a dorm room, you know? And home seemed like a long way away, 16 time zones away. And so I read for a while and walked down the halls, and then I started looking out the window at a backyard where children were playing. And then their mothers called them in for the evening, or at least that was my best translation of her Russian, okay? Because all the kids went in, so that's what I figured. And then it was quiet like this. And I know we've talked about be still and know that God is God, but oh man, kind of, Lord, where are you? You know, that's what the exiles had to sing. By the waters of captivity, homeless. Oh Lord, how can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? And I don't know if I want to jump ahead, but you see, we can. I'm not saying it's easy, but we can sing the Lord's song in a strange land. I must say, I was homesick, Todd. I mean, I felt like a 10-year-old, and Mary's birthday was that week, and so at one point I thought, okay, I'm packing up, I'm headed to the airport, I'm going home, you know? And then I thought, the RAs and GAs who had raised money to send me on my trip, how could I explain that to them, you know, when I show back up and no slides, okay? And so it is. We have a home pictured in this psalm. When we wander off or even feel homeless, that there is the Father waiting for us. That's the reality now of the home. We're never homeless. The door, that was so wonderful about forgiveness that Dwayne did the other day. The door of his forgiveness is always open, that in fact then that it might pass through us as well. And so is this parable, as I mentioned, it's not about a wayward son, it's about a waiting father. And no matter what you've done, you're invited today to come home right now, to dwell in the house of the Lord. And just get just a little kind of picture of what one day, boy, what it'll really be like. Some counselors believe that all of our acting out, all the crazy stuff we do, and sometimes when we shake our heads and go, what were they thinking? They were thinking about home. Home that they don't have. And so even before packing up and pulling out to go home, you have a home today. Even when you leave Paisano, where the Father wants to take you into his arms. Our granddaughter had some initial health problems when she was born. And so I remember, and she's fine now, my goodness, this child runs everywhere. But I remember holding her on my shoulder, rocking her. Just months old, even if it was that much. And it just came to me about how God embraces us. And for a moment, I felt like I was in the Father's arms too. And as I patted her, I kept quoting the 23rd Psalm. In fact, my daughter, that psalm is in her room now. In fact, you know what, too? She's from Victoria. Her dad's a cowboy. And yet, what somebody built for her is a lamb that she rides, a little sheep. And boy, does she ride it down. But I patted her, and I thought of the 23rd Psalm, but my mind went beyond that to one of, I think, the most ordained anthems, which is, "My Shepherd Shall Supply My Needs." Oh, go Google it today, in the oboe beginning of it. There is the last refrain of it, though, that says, "No longer a stranger, nor like a guest, but like a child at home." That, to me, is the house that's been prepared. We're no longer a stranger, nor a guest, but like a child at home. When Mary and I were first married and living in Lubbock, we planned a little mini vacation to go see her parents. They had a cabin way out near Cloudcroft, May. If you've ever been through May, New Mexico, way out there. In fact, the cabin was so removed during that time, no electricity went that far. There was this dirt road that went for miles as the only way to get there. It was generated powered. The water, we had to do these water lines that the animals were all, you spent your time really repairing the water lines, but it was a great place. It was a great place. And so her youngest sister, Margaret, was going to go with us and had to leave late because of work. And so we got to the dirt road cutoff, and it had rained for several days, and so it was pretty soggy. And so the farther we got, though, the more it became hard to stay in the ruts. But my sister-in-law kept saying, "Phil, stay in the ruts, stay in the ruts," you know, as if that was some kind of magic. And yet then we finally got to this place where the mud swallowed up our tires and we could go no farther. And I thought, so much, Margaret, for staying in the ruts, you know? And so Margaret then, who's never been short of opinions, y'all are going to post this on the web, aren't you? Margaret, we looked out, she thought she recognized the meadow out, and you could see it, the meadow. But I thought, how does that meadow to you right now look any different than the 10 we've passed? Okay, come on, be honest. But no, she recognized it, and she was confident and sure. We were still miles and miles away from the cabin. So we decided to spend the night there in the car. I'd gotten out. I had mud kind of up to my knees, and there we were trying to sleep together in our little compact car, And so we made the best we could, and then morning, thankfully, finally came. And so as we were thinking about what to do, I said, "Well, I'm going to volunteer to stay with the car, okay? I think that's the only thing I can do." I said, "I don't know the area like you do, you know?" And so Mary and Margaret, they hiked for help. Well, I thought, gosh, I have some room now. So I kind of stretched out there, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to sleep. And so it seemed like I'd only been asleep a few minutes when all of a sudden I look over the dash, and there they are with her father and her Suburban and his winch to pull us out. Huh. And you know what? I'd only been asleep a few minutes, because home was only a few yards away. We slept like pretzels that night, crammed in this little car. And not the best spiritual atmosphere, I might add, either. And home was only a few yards away. And when we walked into the warmth of that cabin, breakfast was on the table, a fire in the fireplace, and we were welcomed home. And then too, you know what? You get a little perspective. Grady Nutt, who was mentioned, you know what he said a sense of humor is? It's being able to laugh about something bad that's happened sooner than somebody else. Don't you like that? It's not telling jokes, but, and so we had a little time, and then we laughed about it. We laughed about that night. I think heaven is a place of great laughter as well. And I pray for you today, especially those who had family members in memory today. Will you listen? Will you listen possibly, maybe just kind of sprinkling down? If you listen hard, you might hear that laughter that only is the laughter of the kingdom. And so it is, as we go even back home, may we always remember, home is closer than you think. Let's pray. Oh, gracious God, thank you. We sang about it. Nothing compares to the promise we have in you. And so at times, even as we've heard this week, we do need to be a little more heavenly minded here, not to take us away from the work of the kingdom, but we need to know that you will have the last word, and that even in times of difficulty, the worst thing is never the last thing in your home. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.